This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. John Williams here. And on Wednesdays, Terry Savage is too. Hi, Terry.
Hello.
So you got a lot of ground to cover today, don't we?
Well, the markets first. That's very interesting. And lots going on.
You think the NASDAQ is in correction territory, huh?
The NASDAQ is down 11%, or it was a few minutes ago, so that's officially in correction
territory. On the year? 11% on the year, or what's the time?
11% from its highs. So it's down 11%, and that is designed as a correction. You know, the NASDAQ is populated heavily by tech stocks, which have sold off many of them, many down 15, even 20%. So that's a worrisome sign. The just kind of been a market rotation out of what was popular last year and what might be popular in an economy that deals with inflation and potentially higher interest rates.
So does that mean that the Dow and the other markets, the indices, are going to similarly drop? I mean, what does this tell us?
Where is my crystal ball when I need it? Let me give you this. The January barometer, which has been popularized by originally Yale Hirsch of the Stock Traders Almanac, gentleman I knew for many, many years, has an incredible track record. It says, going back to 1950, now it's a pretty long track record, the January barometer has been right 84.5% of the time. And basically what it says is, if the stock market rises during the first month of the year, so will the year be bullish. So we're off to not such a great start. And also, by the way, this is a midterm election year. So also from the Stock Traders Almanac, it is one of the worst years for the stock market. Since 1950, during midterm election years, the S&P averaged a decline of 0.7%. So it's not historically a great year for stocks. And you could discuss whether that's politically or whatever it is, but that's just the history of it. And the January barometer, we'll be watching. We're only halfway through the month, so that could change.
You're going to have Dr. Bob on with us next week?
Next week. I'll give you a sneak peek.
Yeah.
Sure, should I do that? Yes, you remember Dr. Bob famously last year said,
Frelick.
Dr. Bob Frelick, great market forecaster, brilliant market thinker, and he gave a wonderful program at the Executives Club just last Thursday. A year ago, he said that the Dow would be, you could remember his forecast by 401k, he thought the Dow would be 40,100. So, of course, I asked him, I said, Dr. Bob, why were you so wrong? And he said, well, you could call it wrong, or you could call it early. So next week we'll have him, and that was before the market fell, you know, this week. So next week we'll have Dr. Bob on. You don't want to miss that.
Well, if that means he's bullish, and it does, then I'm happy to hear it, especially if you dollar cost average, if the market goes down, but it's ultimately going to come back within 12 months, hooray, right?
Well, nobody gives guarantees, but here's the one guarantee. If you're that person in your 401k and you're putting that $300 a month away in the S&P 500 index fund, you've had a fabulous return, out of amazing return, 27% last year. But over the long run, over 10% with dividends reinvested is the average annual return of the S&P 500. So that means when the market's down and you're check goes in from your paycheck payroll to the 401k. You know, if that happens on the day when the market's down, you buy more shares of that index fund, so you get more leverage on the upside.
Well, let's start talking about this Navion settlement. Tell us what it means, and then we'll pick it up on the other side, and we'll also take your calls. 312-981-7200. What's the news with Navion? You posted a note about that.
Yeah, it's on my website. It's not a column. There's a fascinating announcement that the state attorneys general, 39 states, and including Illinois, got a $1.7 billion settlement. Now, who's Navion? Once upon a time, there was Sallie Mae. It was a quasi-government student loan lender and collector. In 2010, they took away the federal student loan part of Sallie Mae, and it became a privatized company. So they continued to make private student loans. They continued to service federal student loans. And I think it was in 2014, they said, we're not going to be in the servicing business anymore. They created a new company, Navion, to service student loans. That company, Navion, by the way, has come under so much criticism that it's created two new companies and offloaded their servicing business. It's very complicated. Anyway, the attorneys general went after them and got a settlement. However, and there's a lot of details you can read at terrysavage.com, but this only applies to people who were in default last year. Now, these are loans that go back to 2002 through 2012 or something like that. And the fact is, many people have been paying on these loans and had been directed into expensive forbearance plans, had been given loans from schools that were really rip-off schools. So, unfortunately, this agreement so far has only helped the people who are actually in default. And all those millions of borrowers who have been carrying this burden around like a donkey going up a hill with giant sacks of firewood on it through their lives. I had one gal call me who said, could this apply to me, but I keep paying. Another one is someone I know, a veterinarian, who started out with $265,000 worth of loans. And when Sally Mae, that was then Sally Mae, told her to go into forbearance her first year out of grad school, they added $36,000 to the principal of her loan. I'm trying to dig into that. So this is not a finished deal yet. And for all those who still have student loans and have been good people paying, maybe we'll be able to figure out a way to get you. I called Ray Kaplan, our student loan expert, and said, Ray, we should do something together on this, because I heard her on Lisa Dent's show a couple of days ago talking about it's outrageous that the people who paid are not getting freedom from their loans.
I understand.
So far.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll pause here. We'll pick it up in a minute. You've got a question or a comment for Terry, 312-981-7200 on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Look, here's a living proof that inflation is here and here to stay. Number one, the news item that Procter & Gamble is raising the prices of stuff like diapers. Diaper prices go up. That's pure inflation. But guess what woke up today? I think we should mention gold. Gold is up about $28, almost $29 an ounce, to $1,841. Now, in June, gold made an all-time high, as I recall. It was about 1905. So I've been wondering, well, you know, if we're having inflation, what happened to gold? Is it just that relic? I don't know. It's lasted thousands of years as the one thing that people want when they don't want paper currency. Now we have digital, of course, but gold is up too. Just thought I'd mention that.
Here's some phone calls, 312-981-7200. Courtney, you're on with Terry Savage. How can we help?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have a Navient Parent Plus loan, and I just received a notice from AidVantage, it says, and it references my Navient loan and go to studentaid.gov. It seems like now my Navient loan is handled by AidVantage. Is this legit, or how do I know?
Yeah,
if this
picture,
is legit?
You know the old shell game that they used to talk about, which under which cup is the ball or the whatever
yeah.
It is? That is kind of what it's been like. It started out as, if you had it long, it was Sally Mae, and then it became Navient, and now they're offloading because they've got such a bad name, and because they're doing this settlement, and I think they knew they were going to do this, so they've now they've got a new name or a new subsidiary. I'm not quite sure if it's a subsidiary, but they've offloaded a lot of their student loan servicing, which is pay us, pay us, pay us, to this new company called AidVantage. It's all the same thing. And until the government really gets its act together and cracks down on the wrongs that have been done to people who continue to pay and pay fees and interest, this won't stop. But yes, they will be collecting your loan from now. And I haven't seen the notice yet. I don't know if you have to do anything or if they're just letting you know that there'll be a different name, a different box. If you're doing direct deposit, there may even be a different way to send you.
Well, this happens with mortgages all the time. Your lender,
servicers,
a lot of times, servicers change. What are some of the numbers attached to your loan, Courtney? How much? What's the rate?
It's 0%. And I owe from 2015 to 2017 for my daughter $18,000. But it's 0%. The original principal was anywhere from $5,000. Now, unpaid principal is $6,700. Or the 5,000.
I don't know any plus loans. I've said this many times. Plus loans, unless you absolutely have to take one out, are the most expensive form of federal student loan.
No, it was the only way for us to do
Now, right now, this moment, figure out a way to pay that $6,700 balance, because you are just going to be eaten up alive with interest. It's not zero interest. I don't know what that form says, but it's not.
Okay, I wondered about that. And it's not $6,700, it's just 1 year.
Start with 1 year.
Well, you're in forbearance now. You don't have to
loan. No, parent plus loans.
It's 2015.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. One thing at a time. Forbearance does not apply to her, Terry?
No. Forbearance is for student loans. There's actually no way to get out. This is the Roach Motel. I've said this many times. Plus loans are the Roach Motel of college financing. The only way to get out is to pay it off. Now, five ways to pay it off. Sell your soul. Refinance your house. Sell your second car. I'm really serious about this, because if today you were to take out a car loan, you wouldn't pay 7 or 8%, which many of your loans might be accruing at. So figure out something to sell. I mean it, something you own, and pay off the principal of at least one of those loans, and then do it again.
Do you have a mortgage, Courtney?
Okay. No. I rent, and I lease, and I'm a single mom, and all that jazz. But the only thing that makes me sleep well at night is that my daughter got a great degree. She's got a great job. She's very, very happy.
But is she paying off her own student loans?
Yes, she is.
Okay. All right. There's got to be something, and I wish they would. You know, I've always said they don't have to forgive loans to people, but the insane interest should be when it's a big deal. The Treasury bond rates at 10 years are up to 1.8%, and you're paying 7, 8, 9 to the government. That's insane.
Yeah, that's wrong. I couldn't agree with you more. Courtney, good luck to you. And heed to the best of your ability Terry's advice. John, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning, both of you.
Thank you.
Very quickly, I am 72 years old, retired and drawing my RMDs. My wife is 60. She just retired. My question to you is, should she, when she turns 62 or 67 for her FRA, should she take her Social Security, or should she take it at 62, or should we withdraw from her IRA rollover, given the age differences that when I die, she gets my Social Security, because we're 12 years difference. I'd just like to get your thoughts on that.
Okay. Actually, those are not the two alternatives you should be looking at. You may be in a position where if you're drawing Social Security, she can draw on yours until she reaches a much older age. And this is such a complicated thing that every time I think about it, I have to look it up and read about it. But here's where you should go. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. I have Larry Kotlikoff's book on my shelf. I could unplug for a minute and go look at it. But he has a Social Security planning software. It will cost you $40, and I'll buy you lunch if it doesn't save you a fortune or help you get an additional fortune in Social Security benefits. Because a younger spouse, when the older spouse is retired and is collecting, has some interesting options. So she definitely does not want to collect on her own. She probably wants to collect on your benefits and delay her own. But I can't remember all the details. So go to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, fill in the numbers, and you'll get the correct answer. You will not get that, by the way, by calling Social Security, because as Larry Kotlikoff, who runs that site, says, they give wrong answers more than half the time.
John, good luck to you, and listen to that. Terry Savage from TerrySavage.com, the syndicated financial columnist, joins us on Wednesdays. Lots more calls and text messages for you, Terry. You got something you want to say before we pick them up?
No, let's go. I did look up, by the way, that Social Security question. There's that special deal available, though, to people who were born before 1954. So they should still go to Maximize My Social Security and figure out what her best deal is. But there's a great deal that allows people who were born before 54, if a younger spouse, if the older spouse is collecting Social Security, the younger spouse can collect half of his or hers, if the spouse, and then file for his or her own at 70. But you have to be born before 1954.
This is from 414 area code. Hello, Terry. My now ex-husband persuaded me in 2014 to take my Social Security starting at age 62. He handled all of our finances. I was so upset about the divorce that I didn't take this into consideration. Now he ran off with the maid, and I'm struggling to figure out taxes and Social Security. I'm so tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone at SSA. Can you help? You can't turn the clock back. If you started taking it at 62, you started taking it at 62, right?
That's it. You will get an increase, a slight increase, but you were permanently penalized significantly. So, but you know what? There is no point in looking back. And right now, taxes should be easy. If you go to irs.gov/freefile, you will be able to find out who will help you, assuming you're living on Social Security and maybe a little bit of support or savings. You don't have to pay for a tax filing, and your Social Security is probably your main income. So that's not a big, I'm sorry that that happened, but you are where you are. The big question is now, what can you do to earn more money? Because the penalty is negligible. So even if you're still under full retirement age, the penalty is minimal. Go get a job and earn some more. The best, living well is the best revenge. That was on a pillow my mother had on her couch. I have it now.
Good afternoon, Terry. I'm affected by the windfall elimination provision of the Social Security Administration. $400 a month is being withheld from a benefit that I earned. Yes, I'm receiving a federal pension, but I did earn both of them. Do you ever see this law being changed?
Yeah, there's not going to be enough pressure. I don't see that being changed. It's called the WEP. It's a pension offset, and it is what it is. I'm sorry.
Can I ask Terry, I get a COLA, and if we're in inflation, how much of a percent am I looking at? Not sure I understand that question, do you?
Your Social Security check that you get or have gotten already maybe in January is up, I thought it was 6.8%. Am I right about that? I'll have to double check that. There have been so many increases. There's been inflation last month. Maybe it's 5.9%. I'm trying to remember. But it comes. You'll get more money. You'll also notice that you don't get a lot more money in your check because your Medicare Part B premium went up and perhaps your Part D drug premium went up. And also along the year, you'll pay more because your co-pays went up. So thank you very much for that headline number, but you're not getting it all.
More of your calls. Let's talk to Kathy. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Hi, Terry. I have a question for you. I'm on Social Security disability. I've been on it for at least 10 years. When they switch me over to just regular Social Security, I'm 63. When they switch me over, does it go up, down, or stay the same?
You should get more from Social Security. A lot depends on what you paid in. So I don't know, since you were on disability for that long, that will depend on your work record. So I can't tell you that it'll go up or down. But you can go to socialsecurity.gov and find out your benefits. Create an account there. It's free. It'll help you understand what you're going to get.
I actually called there, and he said, oh, it will go up. But I didn't know you said that. Most of the time, those guys are wrong.
they are mostly wrong. And, I hope you'll. When will you start getting Social Security direct deposit?
I don't know. 64 and a half? Is that the age now? I don't know.
No. I think you will. How old are you now? 63. I'm not sure whether, I'm not sure whether you get that at full retirement age off of Social Security disability or early. So go to socialsecurity.gov and don't listen to the person, but go and create an account there, and it will give you an idea of what benefit you can expect.
Good luck to you, Kathy. This is from 815. Terry, I paper filed my taxes last year in July, and I still don't have my $4,000 refund. Should I be concerned? Well, you're one of 6 million people, by the way, 815, that you don't have your 2020 return. Go ahead, Terry.
You answered it. On to the next.
You should be concerned, but you should also not worry that you won't get it. They know they're behind, and they will send it out. John, last year we were able to get an individual number from the IRS to secure your tax return filing. This is about tax filing. The number was only for that filing year. Is it available yet for this year, and how do we get it? I forgot. says 815.
Great question. Post that on my blog at terrysavage.com. I'll ask our buddy Eric Smith, and he'll have the right answer.
630, what about the people paying right now for their kids' college fees? We've not taken a loan out. It's coming out of my paycheck every week. Should I take a loan out instead? I feel dumb paying this.
No, don't feel dumb paying it because you're not being charged interest. If you take a loan, and it's not going to be as low as your mortgage, which is now 3.5%, it's not going to be as low as a, well, maybe as low as a car loan. They're not giving cheap car loans anymore either. So why would you pay interest if you can afford to pay cash?
If you are in forbearance or can be in forbearance on your student loan, should you be paying on it so that you attack the principal, or should you just bank the money and let it grow somewhere?
Well, right now, everybody's in forbearance, so to speak.
Sure.
And that'll go till May 1st.
But I mean, you don't have to pay, but should you?
So you don't have to pay, and no interest is accruing.
But that's why you maybe should, because you'll pay on the principal.
Okay, so here's the thing. We think probably right after tax week, we'll do a show called, guess what? Student Loan Forbearance is coming to an end May 1st. May 1st, yes. And we will do a show called, Are They Gonna Forgive $10,000 worth of student loans? You don't want to pay it off if they are. And my bet is that given all the political turmoil and all that needs to be done, student loans will be on the back burner. Remember, this Navient deal was state attorneys general suing this company. They didn't sue them broadly enough, in my opinion, and I hope that they might go back at it. But federal government's got a lot on its mind. They can't get together on anything.
No.
So I think right before the forbearance is lifted, unless it's extended again, and this is an election year, so maybe it would be extended again, that would be the moment to make the payment so it hits the principal amount.
Well, here's how you find out if it's going to happen. Just call the senator from West Virginia or Arizona and ask them, and they'll tell you what's going to happen. Let's talk. Was that a political comment for me? It was just kind of a reality check.
Well, it is a reality check. It's what's going on in Washington, and both sides, you know, both sides.
This is Chuck. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Terry and John. Hey, I have a question about people born in 1960 related to Social Security. There's some articles out there that say that people who were born in 1960, because the way the annual benefit is calculated, will receive a 10 to 15% reduction in their Social Security as compared to someone born
as opposed to somebody born when, Chuck?
1959 or 1961, because they base it, there's a one key number is the total wages paid into Social Security or something for the year when a person turns 60. So people in 1960 turn 60 in 2020. And I'm trying to verify, number one, that's true, that our Social Security will be reduced because of that. And is there anything that could possibly be done? I think it's unfair that the 4 million people born in 1960 will have their Social Security reduced somewhere between $200 and $300 per month.
Okay, hold on, Chuck. We're out of time, but what do you know about that?
All right, so that is a fact, and it might be addressed by Congress. The fact is that there's a different calculation if you were born in 1960, and it's how benefits are calculated. I'm not going to get into this. It's the average wage index and so forth, and it adjusts to correct for changes to wage growth over your life. So I think Social Security is going to have bigger problems before they get around to dealing with the issue of people who were born after 1960, but it's coming closer. So that'll be part of whatever they do with Social Security. But you're right, there is a dip for people who are born later.
Boy, that's tough draw. It's 12:45. Your questions and concerns can also be addressed to Terry Savage at terrysavage.com. Look at her website, lots of helpful links and tabs there. And busy show for us next week too, Terry.
Next week, Dr. Bob on where the stock market's going. Now, the only reason we say this is he's been so incredibly optimistic and so incredibly right till last year. We were up, though, for last year.
Yeah.
Just not as high as he said. Maybe this is the year.
If he had said 36, I would have said thank you, but he said 41 or 40. So we'll see what he says on the show next week.
Remember, in spring, he said 333 before opening day. We got there.
All right, Terry, we'll visit next week. That's Terry Savage, and this is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we've got more business news now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago Public Media is buying the Sun-Times. The group's board of directors voted last night to move forward with the acquisition. The organizations expect to close the transaction by January 31st. Chicago Public Media is the owner of WBEZ. The newly merged company is expected to reach more than 2 million people a week in the Chicago area across broadcast, print, and digital channels. Frontier Airlines is returning to Midway Airport for the first time in nearly 7 years. The addition makes 6 airlines offering service out of Midway starting April 28th. Despite the pandemic challenges of the last 2 years, Frontier is preparing a return to pre-pandemic travel vacations. Frontier will fly from Midway to Atlanta, Dallas-Fort Worth, Denver, Las Vegas, Ontario, Phoenix, Tampa, and Trenton, New Jersey. It'll add flights to Fort Lauderdale and Orlando beginning in late October. Frontier will keep service out of O'Hare, focusing on Mexico and Caribbean destinations. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minutes.
Our business of food man is Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir. This may not seem related to the business of food, but bear with me. I've got some TV show theme music to start things off. You probably recognize that song if you've been watching the HBO series about mostly unlikable people called Succession. But today's topic is about a different type of succession, for which I have a different song.
When you try your best, but you don't succeed.
That's the opening music on a video produced by Chipotle, highlighting the chain's concern about succession in the farming business. Here's Chipotle CEO Brian Nickel on CNBC.
We're buying over 30 million pounds of local produce, and we think it's important that we bring to light the need to make sure that land gets passed along to future young farmers.
Joining him in that concern is Jim Selfer, a dairy industry expert at the University of Minnesota.
It seems like over the last maybe couple of years, I've been involved in more farm transitions than I have over my career in extension.
The USDA says about 96% of American farms are family farms, suggesting that they'll be taken over by the next generation. It doesn't always work out that way, and Selfer says those discussions can be very difficult.
There's a lot of concerns and a lot of emotion, and what about non-family heirs? I understand that, but for the younger generation, I would encourage you to be patient and understand how hard that is, that maybe your parents built up this business, worked really hard, and now they're going to hand it over to somebody else. That's kind of been their baby for maybe their entire life.
Putting those conversations off? Not a good idea.
Not dealing with it doesn't make it any easier later. And we've got to start transitioning these management skills to the younger generation. I'm talking to the older generation here. We're doing a disservice to wait as long as we can until we really do that transfer.
From the farm to your belly, today is National Popcorn Day. Popcorn is grown in 25 states. Number one is Nebraska, followed by Indiana and Illinois. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Focus on another small business in the Chicagoland area. On a phone line is John Suter, and I think we've actually talked about this business before. John, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm well, and thank you and Pete for inviting us all on your show.
Chicago Pet Transport. What do you all do?
Well, we transport pets for anywhere and for whatever needs to and from. Whether it be a vet, daycare, boarding, pick them up at the airport, deliver them to their residence, which I'm doing tomorrow to the Davenport area. And then we also deliver them to the airport to fly to another country or domestically. And we handle, you know, emergencies in the middle of the night, so I'm on call 24/7. And we also handle breeding people or breeding of dogs in various areas in the country,
right,
and deliver them to their new owners.
What's the most typical service you provide? Who's the usual customer?
It's probably local, and it's daycare or boarding or to the vet. Most of the time we hear from new clients, "I wish I had known about you sooner," and wherever we may be taking them.
So and does that mean that if I needed my dog to go to the vet and I wasn't home, that you would pick the dog up and do that?
Absolutely. And we're bonded and insured, so you don't have to worry about that. And we would let you know when we picked him up, when we got to the vet, when he went inside, when he came back out and what time we should be back at your residence. Hmm. This way you know exactly where he is all the time.
How much do you charge for the service?
Right now, we haven't raised our rate in 6 years, so we just raised them from 40 to 45 one way.
So I suppose if I had to get somewhere in the city with my dog and the cab or the Uber doesn't want him in there, I don't know if there are restrictions, but for some people, this might be the only way to get the dog or the cat from A to B, huh?
Well, we have a lot of clients that are homebound or they don't have a vehicle. So we a number of our clients are in that situation, and we're happy to help them out in any way we can.
How's business been in the last year or two?
It's been very good. The COVID did not put any slowdowns on any of our business. Most of the time, people bring the pet out to our vehicle. And when we get to the vet, the techs come out and take the pet inside. So we have minimal contact with the owners as well as the vet hospitals.
Do you need more drivers? What's your situation?
Yeah. Yeah, right now we have three other drivers. We have one in Berwyn. We have another one on the south side, and myself, and also another gentleman on the near south side.
This is John Suter, Chicago Pet Transport, chicagopettransport.com. Who knew there'd be a niche for this, John?
Well, my wife was walking our dog and got attacked by an off-leash dog. And at that time, they only had cabs. And she called me up. I rushed home, took him to the vet. And she goes, what do people do when they're in this situation with a dog that's bleeding or they don't have a vehicle or they're homebound? What do they do? And so she set up a website. We got calls from friends and neighbors. And the next thing I know, we're in the business.
Hmm. It sounds like, though, it's a pretty local business. That is, you don't cover all of Chicagoland, or do you?
No, we cover all of Chicagoland. In fact, we do the suburbs as well when we have an opportunity to do so, as long as we're not already pre-booked. And it's a little more expensive, of course, for the suburbs because it takes a little bit longer to get out there.
Hmm.
But it's a modest increase in fee. But as long as we can get there, we'll do our best to get there.
John Suter, Chicago Pet Transport. That's the website, too, chicagopettransport.com. Nice to talk to you, John. Good luck and continued success.
Thank you for taking our call again, and we appreciate everything we do for people. It's a wonderful job. The animals are wonderful. I get a lot of kisses.
you're in the only industry that can still say that, so I'm happy for you, sir.
Thank you. You have a great day, John. We enjoy your show.
Appreciate your help. It's 12:50. You just can't do that otherwise.